We learned, as always, our first service tells us we're not going to get finished, which is not uncommon, right? There's a lot of, I guess you could talk about historical stuff. We've never done a resurrection celebration like this, but just for all kind of reasons, we're going to look at it a little bit different today. And we will not get done by any chance, but Danny will put all the notes up on the website if you would like to look at them. You can look at them, download them, won't cost you anything, because we're going to try to look at it a little bit more from a historical perspective. There's a lot of people in this room. I don't know what you are. You may be a agnostic or atheist or just nothing. You know, I don't know. But the question is, a lot of people make that decision and never even investigate. They either base it on some backslidden Christian that they supposedly knew a long time ago, or somebody in their family who was supposed to be a Christian that never lived it out, and so they say it's not real. Well, you just need to make sure from a historic, because Christianity is a historical religion, verifiable evidence historically. And after you investigate that and then you make a decision, hey, at least you've done your homework. But a lot of people just make the decision and say, well, that can't be true. Well, have you investigated it at all? And kind of that's what we're looking at today quickly. In Mark, we're going to look at his take. And a lot of times people get hung up because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're telling you the story from totally different perspectives. And we started with this idea, you know, just a few weeks ago, just because of our personality differences. When we see an event, everyone logs things that are important to them that the other person doesn't. So I could ask four or five of you to tell me what you saw in this event, and I guarantee you none of them would be the same. They might all be true. They might be revealed a little bit different. Why? Just because you see things different, you know, according to your personality. You know, a lot of times people will know exactly what color the car was that ran off the road, and some people don't know the car ran off the road. Isn't that right? I mean, that's just the way it goes. And a lot of people get hung up on that, and so they just say, well, that can't be true. Well, have you investigated it? You know, that's the main thing. And it says, there came Joseph of Arimathea, a counselor. Basically, some translations just translate him. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council of the 71 that were the ruling Jerusalem Council, or the Jews' Council. And that's who he was, Joseph of Arimathea, who is an honorable state, who also himself was looking for the kingdom of God. And he boldly went into Pilate. You know, we looked at a few of these issues in the last 2 weeks. And asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him to ask him whether he had been. Why? Because, you know, the crucifixion was, the way they crucified you was you had to push up with your feet and pull up with your arms if you were going to breathe while you were on the cross. Because that's the only way you could breathe, the way it put pressure on your system. So if you couldn't push up, then you would die quicker from suffocating. So what they would do to make sure the people didn't linger 4 or 5 days, they'd go break their legs and make sure that they couldn't push up so they'd die quicker. You know, and the scripture already said that not a bone of his legs would be broken. So they went to check on Jesus and he was already dead. And they were kind of marveled that he had died so soon. So he granted to the corpse of Joseph. We're going to see a lot of these things are very, very practical, but I don't know, we never stop to think about them, to see how God orchestrated all these things through a historical Jewish religion, just to show us that it is historically true that these things happen, whether you believe them or not. You know, you might not believe the world is round. That doesn't mean it's not. Did you know there's a lot of people still believe in a flat earth? You may be one of those. There's websites where they believe it. They try to say, oh, this is, you know, my thinking is practically you walk outside at night, you locate a star, you locate the Big Dipper, go back out there a few hours later, and guess what? It's moved. Something's moving. Oh, they got mirrors set up to make all that happen. That's not really, literally. I mean, so just because you say it doesn't true, it's not true, doesn't mean it's not true. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's not true. Have you investigated it? That's the main thing. So he gave the corpse to Joseph, important. And he bought a linen cloth, and taking him down, wound him in the linen cloth and laid him in a tomb, which had been, some of the other gospels give you a whole lot more details. I should say, every one of them sees it a little bit different. They don't, what John might see is important, the other guys don't, and what they do, he doesn't. It's different. And he took him down, and look at this. a tomb which had been hewn out of a rock. They absolutely historically proven that in Jerusalem, that time of the world, only 20% of the graves had a round stone. The rest of them were square. And it was pretty affluent. Not everybody had one. So, and Joseph of Arimathea was a kind of a rich guy. Part of the, most of the religious guys were the Sanhedrin. So it's his tomb. They put him in it. So that's very, very important in just a minute when the ladies go, because they ask, how are we going to move this stone? It says, hewn out of a rock. It was the one with a round stone. If you've been to Jerusalem and you're going to, well, everybody says, well, this is where he was buried. Well, maybe, maybe not. But there is a tomb there with a big old rock that we couldn't roll by ourselves. Guys couldn't. Huge. It weighs probably a ton. And he bought a linen cloth. And he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, this is astronomically important. And it says, they beheld where he was put. They saw the grave. Have you ever noticed that before? Have you ever noticed that this was included in the description? Why? It's historically important. Why was it important that they know where the tomb is? Very important. Historical argument alone will not force anyone to believe that Jesus raised from the dead. You can investigate all of it and still say, well, I don't believe. That's exactly right. But it does cut out a lot of trash underneath that people try to use for excuses. It does. And you may be one of those. Well, have you investigated? I'm going to find out his name. And did any of you hear, I don't remember what time it was yesterday. I had to go out of town for a funeral, and I was listening to the radio on the 90.5 station. It's more of a talking, preaching station. Which one is that? Help me out, somebody. Is it the Family Life still? I thought that was 91.3. Anyway, this Jewish guy who has a regular talk show every day, I've never heard of that talk show before, but he was talking about, it was a repeat of his 50th anniversary of becoming a believer. He's Jewish by birth. And he talked about how when he came to the United States as a 14-year-old in 1967, and it turned out all the things that went on, that his mother was a Messianic Jew, which was a Jew who believed in Jesus as the Messiah. It caused their family to split. His dad separated from her because, oh, no. And he hated his mama because what? Because he thought everything that she was doing was absolutely against, because at that point in time, everybody that wasn't a Jew hated the Jews, and so when she became a believer, he saw her as a hater. And he goes through this whole process. And you know what? One thing God uses to bring him to light? The historical evidence, even from the Old Testament, from an older Jewish lady who was a believer, that said, you look in there, this is what it says. And you look in there, this is what it says. And historically, this is what happened. And he came to the conclusion, I have to decide, but Jesus was the Messiah. So he converted 50 years ago. And now he's a Jewish believer trying to help other Jewish people become believers. Historically, Christianity is a historical religion. You can shun it and say, I don't believe it, but you can't say it's not true. There's just too much historical evidence that supports everything that's going on. And this comes out of, and what you see is a lot of people try to say, oh, it just came out of paganism. Paganism wasn't even close of the same concept of what burial things took place, how conservative it's kept in the whole line, how really it's a mutation or an alteration out of Judaism. Christianity, brand new. It wasn't a remake, and that's exactly what these things prove. Historical argument is good at clearing away sometimes people's excuses. We have a lot of them, don't we? I went down with my brother. We preached a funeral together. You know, my brother's a pastor now, and I told, there was a lot of pagans in the congregation where we were doing this funeral, a lot of my own family. And I say pagans, I mean just non-believers. And, I just had to remind them that, everybody's going to die. There's some of them. Here's what we basically want, isn't it? We want God to send peace on the earth. We want everything to go exactly the way we want. We don't want any of our family to die from cancer. We don't want them to be sick. But we sure don't want God telling us how to live. Now, ain't that right? Oh, yeah. If God would just fix this, no. You want him to do all that stuff, but you don't want him to tell you how to live. Isn't that right? That's always where the tension is. And I told him, I said, and we do that a lot here. We talk about dying. Why? Because it's coming. You know, it is. Everybody in here is going to die. I guarantee you. 100%, ain't it? Unless Jesus comes back first. That's what's going to happen. My sister, we sat down. I don't get to see them very often, but we sat down there quickly just for a little bite to eat. My two sisters and brother-in-law, and one of my sisters, and they're both older than I am, said, you know, my 35-year-old daughter doesn't even want to talk about it. I said, what? Oh, she don't want to talk about dying. I said, does she know it's coming though, right? Because she's a believer. And then my sister started saying, I'm going to have this and this and this and this at my funeral. I said, well, you better write that down. Because they ain't going to do that. You know? Why? Why wouldn't you want to talk about the inevitable? You know, that's a taboo in Christian churches today. We can talk about sex or anything else in the world, but don't talk about dying. No. Why? It's coming. And you know, the good thing is, because of this day, we absolutely know death is not the end of everything. That's the greatest thing, you know? It's exciting. If you remember, there's a lot more to what's going to go on after this life. This is not all of it. You know, there's so many people think, oh, it's just like cats and dogs and chickens. When we die, it's over with. Nope, that is not right. Even, I just lost that philosopher's name. By the dim light of human reasoning, he wasn't even a believer. He said, whenever I die, my body might be here, but my spirit, I'm a spirit being. I'm going to live forever. He understood that much of it. That's exactly right. The climate of skepticism, which came out of the Enlightenment. You know, when the Enlightenment came, what, 16th, 17th century, we got so wise and modern, and we understand things now that they didn't understand back in the time of Jesus. So, you know, they really didn't know anything about death and dying and all this stuff. So since the Enlightenment, it's pretty much come about, and boy, we have it now. You know, it's just unreasonable to think that anybody could be raised from the dead. And if you believe that, you're an ignoramus. You know, basically, that's what we have. Thank you, Enlightenment. You know, we were so dumb, just like some of us. We thought our parents were so dumb until we got to be about 40. And if you wasn't on drugs, you realized your parents were pretty smart, right? But ain't that right? A 60-year-old knows more than who? Einstein. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. That's exactly what they thought. Go back and look at it. What's happened since the Enlightenment? It's embarrassing now, even in theological circles, to find a person who still believes that Jesus could be resurrected. Minority. You say, well, what do they have to talk about? They really don't. Need to go sell shoes somewhere or do something else. They don't need to be trying to lead somebody to Christ if you don't believe in the resurrection. That's what it says. It was and never is now a neutral position sociologically or politically. You better believe everything that's going on in our world right now is tied to, what was that last thing? Oh, that crazy person that killed all his kids up to the Christian school. That wasn't anti-Christian. What? Have you lost your mind? What was it? That's exactly what it was. Everything is anti-Christ now from every perspective. I mean, it is. Was it affected? It started in the Enlightenment. Go back and look at history. That's the way it was. I mean, that's the way it still is. That's the absolute thing. It achieved a kind of intellectual overthrow, like a coup d'etat, where, oh, this surely can't be what you believe now. You'd be an idiotic person to believe that there could be somebody that was raised from the dead. My goodness. As though modern history knows everything now. I remember C.S. Lewis made a comment once. You remember C.S. Lewis, right? Smart guy. Atheist, agnostic, then a believer. Chronicles of Narnia. Brilliant. And he said, when he was commenting on, you know, this same concept of how, you know, everybody back then was so dumb, and now we know everything. So we just push it off and say, well, we know everything now. We can't even conceive in one moment that there was really a resurrection. And he said, think about Joseph and Mary and Mary becoming pregnant. He said, you know, Joseph wasn't concerned because he didn't know where babies came from. When Mary became pregnant, he was concerned because he did know where they came from. You see the issue? They were not stupid. They knew dead people died and then didn't come out of the grave. They knew that. And now, and that's exactly what we have. Trace it back sometime. That's exactly what it is. If the Gospels are coherent and they accord archaeological evidence, and we're finding it all the time. Oh, this really was this. This really was a person. They said he didn't exist. Now we're finding things all kind of ways that verify what the Bible says. This is what happened. Then you got to at least look at it if you're going to be fair and not just push it off and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you believe that? Just as much as you need to know why you believe something you believe. Paul said that to Timothy, right? Study to show yourself approved what? That you'll be able to give an account for why you believe. Why do you believe what you believe? There is some historical evidence. Christianity is a historical religion. You can go to a Muslim, or you can go to a Hindu or any of those and just ask them, if their leader, if Buddha wasn't really a person, if God could have used somebody else other than Muhammad, would your system still float? And they say, oh, yeah, it has nothing to do with the person. God could have, he would have done something else. You take away Jesus and the resurrection, you don't have anything. It is the only one that's based on a historical, real person that lived and died, and we have evidences of it. It's crazy. According to Jewish law, this was the deal. If a criminal, who Jesus was crucified as a criminal, remember? Pilate and them made a decision by the Sanhedrin because he was going against Caesar. So he was literally a criminal. That's the only way they could execute him. So the Jewish law said what? If you execute a criminal, he could not be buried in the family tomb. It would dishonor the family. He would have to be moved out of that after a while and then placed in the family tomb. Actually, some of Sanhedrin writings that you can still access says if that is the case and he stays in that tomb, anyone in that family should leave that town. I mean, we're talking about serious stuff. So whenever we see that they saw where Jesus was buried, that was a big historical deal. They needed to know that. Why? Because he's buried in a dishonorable place as a criminal. He has to be moved into an honorable place for the family. And it has to be done at a certain time. They believe that by the fourth day, decomposition would take place to where you couldn't recognize the person. So you got to do it before then. You think it's a big deal why they went there on Sunday morning? It's a real big deal. Not just happen chance. All these things historically. It came out of the Jewish faith. The body was to be placed in a burial vault set aside for persons. Guess who had to provide it? The Romans. Sanhedrin, because the Sanhedrin, whom Joseph of Arimathea was a part of, they were the ones that got Jesus killed. They were responsible. So guess who had to provide the tomb? Joseph of Arimathea, out of the Sanhedrin. He provides a tomb. Evidently, he's a believer. On some sense, it says he was thinking about the kingdom. He must remain there until the flesh is decomposed. And then you can move his body to an honorable place. If they don't get him there before that fourth day is over, then they won't be able to recognize him and move him to the right place. It's very, very important, very historical. It is not coming down out of some alien ship somewhere, all right? A lot of people think that about some of us sometimes, right? The task to tell Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the council, remember? The gospel narrative is completely in step with Jewish law mandated it. You had to bury him in a dishonorable place, and you had to move him by this time to an honorable place. Isn't that amazing? Where God is using all these things to verify, listen, this is real. It's not made up. It's verifiable. I mean, we can see it. You can see a lot of these things happen in Jewish history. They tell us that Mary Magdalene and Mary, it was very important for them to know where the body is because they're going to have to move it. And when they show up there on Sunday morning, they said, he's gone. We have to move him in. If he's gone, we can't move him in. If we don't verify it today, then we'll never verify it. And what will we tell Mary, his mother? It would be so dishonorable for the family. All this is historical. It's not made up. And yeah, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe. And you say, have you ever looked at any of the evidence? You know, how about that? It was necessary for them to know where he was so that they can move him. He had to be placed in a different tomb before a certain time takes place. It's all behind it. They anticipated moving his remains to an honorable place. You ever thought about that? Historically, how important that was? Came in Jewish law. It absolutely says it in some of the Sanhedrin's Shema, and if you look in the right place, you can find it. They had to do it to a certain time, but they had to know which tomb it was so they could go get him. And usually, he wouldn't be in a tomb where there were a lot of other people, you know, but they had to get him out of there so they could recognize him before decomposing took it completely. He was placed in there on a Friday, the first opportunity, because Sabbath was holy. They couldn't do anything on Saturday. The first opportunity was Sunday morning. How about that? The first day that they could go back. And it says they go back and they take ointments. Now, here's what the Jewish law also said. For a criminal, and Jesus was a criminal, according to them, you could have a private mourning at the graveside, not public. Not for criminals. You couldn't do that. So these ladies are going there privately to mourn over Jesus, and they're taking spices. You know why? Because he stinks by now. Come on. How long does it take a possum to stink in the summertime when he's killed on the road? I hate to say this. There's an armadillo about this big right at my driveway on the front. It don't take about a day, and you know he's there. That's why they took the ointment there. They want a mourning there, but they got to cover up the smell somehow. You know, it's amazing how all those things happen. Practical, historically, this is the way the Jewish system was. They said Mary Magdalene and them, they what? They want to go and anoint the body, and they want to mourn over him in private. You can't have a public mourning for a criminal. It wasn't Jewish law, didn't allow it. Their intention was to anoint the body and mourn for him in that tomb privately, and they could do that. In the cases of criminals, they could do that. You couldn't have a whole thing. As they approached the tomb, this is what they said. They knew, we're going to the tomb. We saw him buried there. They saw him, put him in there. Who's going to roll this big stone back for us? How are we going to get in there? Practical. It was enough, you know, if you've been to the Holy Land and you've been to some of these things, they're very, very large stones. You know, I couldn't roll one back by myself. It would take several of us because, you know, the one that we saw was probably 8 to 10 foot tall. It was probably 10 foot in around and a foot thick. Man, what would it weigh? A couple tons, probably, at least a ton. You couldn't move it. Who's going to do this? We got to get in there. We got to recognize him today. You see how important that is? We got to make sure that's him, because he's got to be moved. How are we going to get in there to do that? Practical. He says a guard was posted. I think probably also a what we would call a custodian. The Jews would have somebody there to make sure, because Jewish law mandated you could not move a dishonorable body into a place of honor before the right time had passed. So not only a Roman guard, but some kind of custodian from a Jewish perspective that said, okay, number one, you can't have a whole crowd come in here mourning. It's only private. And number two, you can't move him before the right time. There was a law for it. Jews, they had to make sure. All those things were going on. Historical. And they made up, you know, historical. The most serious of these laws was prohibiting them from moving them from one place to the other before the fourth day. You know, they set that up. That was their deal. So that's what he's there for. According to the Gospels, when the women arrived, they saw the stone was gone. And Jesus is gone. They said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Practical, isn't it? That's the way it was set up. God said, I'm going to use all this stuff. And you're going to see that it mutates. Christianity mutates out of Judaism, and there's so many changes that take place. But it was born out of that. And all of these things help verify the fact that this is a real life deal. You know, it's kind of amazing, ain't it? We believe the Homer's Iliad. Nobody puts question marks over that. And it's, what, 500 years, the first copy we have from the time that it was lived out? But we question all the Gospels. They were written in less than 100 years and when it took place. Oh, we question all those, but we don't question whether the Iliad was true or not, because you don't want to. My goodness, what happened? Can you imagine Caesar? And we see this come down in the end, and all this is in the notes if you want to look at them. You know, Caesar, of all people, he didn't want anybody that had more power than him. Ain't that right? When Christianity came up to come in, and that was one of those alterations later on, you see them saying, Jesus is Lord. Do a little bit of history and you'll see, you know, A lot of the early Christians were killed because they would not say Caesar is Lord. When you're coming out of France there in the, what, 16th century, a lot of the Christians died because they were always preaching this idea of resurrection. And the lost people didn't want to hear it. And they were actually killed because of it, because of the thought of the resurrection. Oh, no, nobody has that power. It's ironic. When you go back and look at all the history, you say, what? Oh, yeah. You know, the only people in that time frame that didn't get killed were the Gnostics. And you know what? They didn't believe in the resurrection. Isn't that funny? If you believe the resurrection, all this other stuff's going to come down. You know, we have Bertrand Russell and several of those. They said, oh, no, we start believing that, then all our vices that we want to hold to, we can't do that anymore. So we got to discredit this thing. We can't say that it's true, because then it's going to, you know, that same idea. Oh, we want Jesus to give us peace on earth and plenty of everything we need, but we don't want him telling us how to live. Right? Same thing. And when you start believing in the resurrection, then you got to do something about Jesus and all his guidelines that he left for us. You know, when he leaves us his guidelines, it's for our own good, right? When he says, thou shalt not, he means don't kill yourself. That's what he means. When I say, Meredith, don't play in the highway, I want to protect you. I'm not hurting you by it. I want to protect you. That's the same thing, but we don't want that, you know. Bless their heart. That's what I told some of our group yesterday, and a lot of them are my family, and they don't believe in Jesus. Some of them do, a fraction of them do, and most of them don't. You know, they just, you know, all the resurrection weekend is for them is another day to party. Do people get off tomorrow? Do a lot of people still get off tomorrow? Or is it just Friday? Some people? Hello? Nobody gets an extra thing on the resurrection? I thought you got an extra day somehow. Just a party. You know, this morning, were all these people going on Resurrection Sunday? They ain't going to church. You know, I see them out on the road. You say, how you know they ain't going? Because I know they ain't going. Because I'm at the gas station with some of them, and I know some of them ain't going. Because, well, anyway, I won't tell you how I know. But I know. When you look at all these tags and say, wait a minute, they're from Michigan. I bet they're looking up a church to try to go to church this morning at 7 o'clock. And they're from Michigan. Yeah. We've had one guy do that. He came through twice, you know. He said, you know, I knew I was going to be down here at this time of the year, and he was from somewhere up north. He said, I wanted to find a church that I could go to, so he came here. And then a year later, he came back because he knew where we were. That's a very minute number of people that will do that. You know, we surely don't go to church on vacation usually, and when we're traveling, we sure don't really look up a church. It takes so much time, right? Hello? Come on now, ain't that right? Yeah, that's right. They're not going to church this morning. I don't know where they're going. Well, I do know. There were about 10 boats at Bucky's this morning gassing up, so I guess they were having church on the lake. Oh, Jesus understands. Boy, I've heard that one. Does he? Is that right? Anyway, we don't need to get off that rabbit trail, because he's going to get killed down there, ain't he? Yeah, he is. Discovery of the open tomb. Boy, that was a messed up thing for them. What are we going to do? What are we going to tell Mary? When she's ready to move Jesus to an honorable thing, we don't know where he is. It's a big deal. Historical big deal. A real thing. You say, well, that's made up. Okay. Look at the evidence. Go look at the people who have set out to prove that the resurrection was false, and how many of those came to believe in Christ because what? There's so many eyewitnesses. That's what we have. Eyewitnesses. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Eyewitnesses. Remember whenever Paul is writing, he said, wait a minute. If you doubt what I'm saying, there's still some people alive when that happened. You know what he says? 1 Corinthians? If you don't believe me, go ask them. They're still alive. They saw it. They witnessed it. Oh, well, they were drunk on some drug. They didn't really see anything. I don't know. He believed they did. Because Jesus was seen of how many after he was resurrected? Up to 500 at one point, right? Huh. He died on Friday, so Sunday was the day that they had to get something done on Sunday or it was going to be too late. All right. They knew something had to be done. He had to be identified. Oh, that's practical. Came strictly out of the Jewish mandate, the Jewish law. That's how you handle a body. That's what it was. Their interpretation of what they saw that Sunday morning was informed by Jewish burial. It was mandated. Any favorable Jew would have been following this. You know, that was just part of it. And God used that to help verify this stuff is true. While all the pertinent data are taken into account, it's every reason to conclude that Jesus did die, was buried, and those things happened. There's a lot of data that show that for us. That's the way Rome did it. That's the way the Jews did it. That was what happened. He was taken down from the cross before nightfall, according to Jewish customs. And then all these things happened. It came out of history. It's real. He was put to death as a criminal. That's a big deal. You know, the scripture says that his bones wouldn't be broken, but he was crucified as a criminal. That's the only way the Jews got him killed. They had to, remember the little deal when, Pilate was a pansy, and, he saw all that was fake and it was a sham, and he gave in because he was already in trouble with Caesar. So he said, man, I got to watch out. History shows you that. He kind of went crazy because he died of suicide in exile. Just because you start doing these kind of things, it's going to affect you one way or the other, and it sure did with him. That's what happened. Obligations to bury the dead. Everything there was a historical part of the Jewish setup, just the way it was mandated. Any Jewish of antiquity, that's exactly what happened. So before you say, I don't believe that, you need to go back and examine the things that happened on that day. And historically, you have some eyewitnesses' account. This happened, this happened, this happened. Instead of just throwing it off, say, well, I don't believe that. Why don't you want to believe it? You know, that's one of those questions the Jewish lady, and she's a well-known leader in The Chosen. It's called, not The Chosen, the TV show, but what is that group called, The Chosen, just reaching out to Jews? What is it? Is it just The Chosen People? There's a whole organization, and back then she was the key leader, a famous Jewish lady who was instrumental in helping a lot of Jews see that Christ was a Messiah. You know, that was one of the things that helped him get to that point. When he looked at all these things and he started studying, he said, even if I don't like it, this is absolutely true. And a lot of times we do things because we don't like it. Well, if I believe Jesus is the resurrection, then I'm going to have to deal with this thing in my life. I don't want to deal with that. So it's easier just not believe, right? You think it's going to go away? Right? That's what we do. Some will look at these records, and we're about halfway through, so we're not going to make it. Somebody looks at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they say, well, wait a minute. There's things in there that I don't understand. Do you understand everything anyway? What is it you fully understand? That we're all a bunch of sinners and we act like it? I know that. I don't understand how television works. I don't understand how the radio works. For a long time, I couldn't understand how a plane stayed in the air. You know, I looked at that thing and I said, how is that working? Until I realized one day, pretty early on, you know, that prop is pulling it through the air. That's how it's staying up there. I'm thinking, how does that thing work? It's pulling it through the air, right? When the prop quits, what happens? Why? You got to pull it through there somehow. The wings keep it up, but it's got to be moving. Simple thing. Some of those things. There's a lot of this. You know, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, right? He said, I can't even tell you earthly things and you understand it. How am I going to tell you spiritual things and you think you're going to get it? You're not going to figure God out. Well, until I figure God out, I'm not going to believe. Then you're not going to believe. You know, I tell some of my predestination friends, bless their heart, you know, they say you don't have a choice, predestined. Then I tell them, and honestly, I say, then why you go to church? It's fatalism. If God's going to choose you and there's nothing you can do about it, why you even go? Just go live like hell if you want to. If God chooses you, all right. If he doesn't, all right. Well, you can't do anything about it anyway, right? I mean, that's what they believe. And they say, oh, well, if I'm elect, and this is what I want to say to them, and I do say to them, the ones I know the best, I know who the elect are. Oh, nobody knows who the elect are. I said, I do. The ones who follow Jesus are the elect. That's who they are. That's what Jesus said. My sheep know, hear my voice, and they follow me. That's the elect. Oh, say, oh, no, that's what it says. Isn't that what it says? Oh, well, we don't know who the elect is. I know who the elect is, the ones who choose. What did he say? He says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. What does that mean? You have a part to play. You have to respond. They say, oh, no, you can't respond. Yes, you can. And you have a lot of historical evidence to help you make a decision. It's not going to make the decision for you, but it's there, the resurrection. If it wasn't for the resurrection, where would we be? I'd probably be an alcoholic. You know, as I said earlier, my brother and I both were doing this funeral, and if you know anything about our family history, it is a miracle. Just an absolute miracle that I'm not an alcoholic. It's just, there's no other reason for it. There's no one. When everything about your whole life, that's what it's been, there's only one way to say, God in his grace and mercy kept me from it. Because I was exposed to it early, early on. You know, I remember one of the deacons in the church a long, long time ago said, you shouldn't talk about that. You know, because I said, you know, the ancestors that I know, they made liquor, they sold liquor, and they drank liquor. I saw two of the stills that the government blew up. I saw them in my own eyes. I know. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Why? It's just by God's grace that I wasn't in that stuff. No, that's it. Only by God's grace, not anything of myself. He called through his word, and I responded. You have a choice. You say, well, I don't understand all that stuff. You think I understood it all then? That's so much of it I don't understand now. But it's the fact that God says, you know, if what? If you'll come to me as a little child, how many children understand where a lollipop comes from? Do they want one? Oh, but do they don't understand how it's made or anything, right? Does it have sugar in it? I don't know. Do they have it anymore? They do? I don't know. I figured they cut that out. Everything else is illegal or bad for you, so I figured they cut that out anyway. You know, nobody wants... Anyway, I won't go down there. Ain't nothing good for you now, right? It's amazing. You look at those old-timers that ate all that lard. They lived to be 90. Now they're coming back to that, right? And they don't call it lard. What do they call it? It's a sophisticated name. What is it? No. Help me out, some of you. I know some of you people out there don't want to eat anything that's bad for you, and you know what I'm talking about. What is it? Debbie and Meredith knows. I said, that's just hog lard. That's all that is. They don't talk about that anymore. Why? Because this other stuff's contaminated by something else. Hog lard just comes pure from the pig fat. It don't have all that stuff in it. It won't hurt you. It keeps you greased up on the inside. Literally. What is he saying? I'm telling you the truth. Go look it up. That's the absolute truth. Beliefs about life after death are notoriously one of the more conservative things in culture. Paganism didn't have any of this stuff. It was passed down through Judaism. These things that took place, that led into Christianity. Oh, is Christianity different? Oh, yeah, in the last part of this that we won't touch, there's four or five things in there where the alterations took place were kind of shocking, actually, a few things. You know, actually, when you look at the Scripture, how many times do you see the word resurrection? You don't. Revelation? And then everybody's fighting over when it's going to happen. You know, that was a brand new concept, the way that it, in Christianity, you start seeing unfolded. That whole idea of Ezekiel chapter 37, you know, the vision of dry bones, for all that time, it was metaphorical for the Jews being restored by God. Christianity comes on the scene. Oh, no, that ain't what it means. It means we're going to be taken up. It don't have anything to do with that part of it. You see all these things taking place out of when Christianity started. Take the time sometime to look. You don't have to agree with me. I can verify some of that evidence for you. My goodness, I'm not that smart. I don't know it all myself. You can go back into the days of the Second Temple from Zerubbabel 516 up into AD 70, and you see that whole concept of the Second Temple. Second Temple, that was more important to the Jews than the resurrection. And Christianity comes along. In Christianity, what's the main thing? The resurrection. Why? Because God birthed it out of that to culminate his whole plan for us. Man, if there was no resurrection, there would be no hope. We wouldn't have anything. What does God do with the resurrection? What is everybody afraid of right now? Dying. Did you see it during COVID? Scared out of their wits. Well, you were too. Can I be honest? I'm really not afraid of dying. I really am not. You know, you say, well, are you in a hurry? Some days I am. You know? Honestly, I said, this is just too much hell to have to deal with. It'd just be easier to get out of this. Paul said that, right? Didn't he? It'd be a lot better for me if I just get on out of here. But for your sake, he said, I'm going to stay. Everybody's afraid of dying. Jesus said, guess what? I overcame that. If I can overcome that, I can help you with anything else. That's what the resurrection is. It solidifies everything else. We can trust God with the worst thing that ever could happen to us. If we can trust him with that, we can trust him with this little nonsense we have to deal with every day. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. You're so far beyond us. We want you to be us so we can understand you. If we could understand you, you wouldn't be God. Lord, remind us that we can trust you. Thank you for the resurrection that solidifies that you are in control. Father, thank you that we can trust you with today and what is going on in our life. The bad news we have, the things that we're dealing with, we can trust you. Lord, help us. Remind us that you're in control, that we can trust you, that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to sing anymore. Y'all be patient just a minute as you stand around. Some of those kids will come down, I think, didn't she say? Or those of you that are with them can go to the youth room back there. And they're going to try to go out and hide the eggs about 11:10 or 11:15. So if you're not in that program, you can be dismissed. It's good to have you if you're our guest. If you're helping out, go ahead and turn on all those lights, if you will, so we can see. Y'all have a great day.